All right, my message tonight is called Count Them. My message tonight is called Count Them. I promise if you lean in, you can say amen if you want. You can say preach it. Jeremy, that's a good graphic. You could say, that's for my neighbor. You can say shut up. I don't really care what you say. Hey, Rosie. I don't really care what you say, but just as long as you say something. I think a quiet church is a bit of a dead church, so we can make some noise. Hey, who thinks Zach's a good worship leader? He's a good worship leader. And my goodness, isn't he good looking? Like, he's spoken for, but, mate, you're good. Don't worry, I'm married. It's all good. Vote no. It's not funny. On a serious note, I really just see this. There's such a call of God on you and your fiance, and I really just felt God saying that you guys are like trees planted by rivers of living water, and that, the things in your heart that you've dreamed about and in ministry, church, family, relationship, I believe he's saying that they're coming. So just stay the course, keep going, and I think there's really good things ahead. Amen. Amen. So count them. That's the message title, count them. We're going to get the Bible out. Who here's got their Bible? Two of us. Three of us. I was preaching in Mackay last year, and I said, who's got their Bible? And it was like 500 people and like a bunch of them. And then one guy lifted up this thing. And I don't know what it was in me, but I just knew it was a Quran. I was like, that's the Quran. And I'm pretty, as you can pick up, I'm pretty like relaxed when I preach and stuff. And I'm like, is that a Quran? And he's like, yes. And I was like, all right. And I just kept preaching. But that's got nothing to do with anything. Turn with me to Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Let's go there. I've got to zip back. So that's at the start of your Bible. There's no harm in the table of contents. If you reach Acts, you've gone too far. Genesis, and God's talking with a man called Abram, who some of you will know later becomes Abraham. And it's a really cool story what happens. So let's read it together. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. It's pretty epic, isn't it? I don't know about you, but if tomorrow morning I woke up, I'm just at a little bed and breakfast over there, and Jesus Christ was standing there, and he said, Fred Porter, I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I'd be like, oh, that's good, isn't it? Praise God. Like, thank you, Lord. But no, Abram's got an attitude. He's got a case of the grumble bums, and he says, but God, what will you give me, seeing as I go childless? So it's not like Bruce and Christine. I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, no one born in my house is my heir. What's he saying? I want a child. I want some kids. We don't know exactly why he hasn't been able to have kids up until this point. I'm sure him and Sarah have been trying. Theologians would tell us that they're almost 100 years old. Almost 100 years old, and they really want kids. He's got an attitude towards the Lord. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this will not be your heir, but one that comes from your own body shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven. Count the stars if you're able to number them, and so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. One more verse, and then we'll pray and get this preaching party started. But Psalm 147:4 says, he counts the number of the stars, and he knows them each by name. He counts the number of the stars and he knows them each by name. Let's pray tonight. God, I thank you for this amazing group of people. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you that tonight people are going to get set free. People are going to get healed. Maybe some people are going to come to know you as a person for the first time. God, we just pray that you'd be here with us and you'd use an ordinary man and an ordinary message to spark something in our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. And everyone that believed it said, amen. Amen. I like the night service. You guys are quite like vocal and loud and stuff. It's good. Hey, I was adopted. Just drop that. I was adopted. When I was 2 years old, I was adopted. My biological mum, bless her, she had me when she was 16 years old. And my biological dad was on drugs. Was in London at the time in a place called Hackney. Hackney is a pretty full-on area. Lots of drugs, lots of crime. Decided to have me, but then put me out for adoption. I was in foster homes for 2 or 3 years in Hackney. And who knows, when you're a kid, sometimes you can be going through something pretty full on, but you can be pretty happy because you don't know anything else. It's just what you know. And, you know, so I was in a foster home with 16 other kids. It was quite a big home, like two stories. We had, what I thought was an awesome backyard. It was like this backyard, but at the back, I've looked at photos. I'm like, that's terrible. Like there was like glass and bricks and barbed wire to stop the kids escaping. Like we were inmates or something, which was awesome. I shared a room with two girls. One was 16 and one was 10. And, they used to like make me as like a 1 and 2 year old, like play with Barbies and like dress them and I still love shopping and stuff. So yeah, so we would hang out and, we got broken into about 2 or 3 times a year. You know, guys would come in that needed money for drugs and money for stuff. They'd never hurt anyone, but they'd just break in and take, you know, the TV that the government had given us or whatever. And I was on a diet. This isn't an exaggeration. I was on a diet for 2 years. I would only eat baked beans, crisps, which is chips, Ribena. Do you guys have Ribena here? How good is it? Ribena. That's what I have for 2 years. Not kidding. Like, I'm surprised I didn't die. But that's all I would eat. Obviously, you don't get much attention or much time. And the adoption laws in England at the time were such that you could come and you could have a trial day. How funny is that? It's like, you know how you get a shirt from Cotton On or something? And you go home, you're like, nah, it doesn't fit. I'm taking it back. They've changed the laws now, but that was the laws with kids. So Robin Heather Porter, who are my parents now, and they're awesome. Pastor Trev knows him. Jeremy knows him. They heard on the radio, this is awesome, young boys needing adoption, please come for a trial day. And they felt something drop in their spirit because they were struggling to have kids biologically. So they were like, we're going to go and we're going to have a trial day. And so they rocked up at the foster home and I went down and they're like, you know, Dad he's less British now. He was so British. You know, I remember him leaning down. He's like, hello, mate. How are ya? And I was like, good. Like, I was British as well. Then I came to Australia and now I talk like an Australian. Which is all right. So they took me out to the park and you know, it's kind of awkward. It's kind of awkward. You got this 2-year-old that you don't really know. This young, nervous couple trying to connect with him. And I was a bit crazy. And they're like, I know, kids like ice cream. We'll buy him an ice cream. So they bought me an ice cream. And I was in a pram. And I thought, you know, I know. Because I sort of knew what was going on. I was like, I know what will impress him. I'll shove the ice cream in this ginger-haired dude's crutch. So I was just like, just like chalk peppermint ice cream in the crutch. And he was like, oh, he's so cute. Like, I was saying to Dad the other day, imagine if I did that now. He's like, I'd knock you out. I was like, yeah, good. But so I did that and then they drove to Cheam. So just to give you an example, if this speaker here is Hackney, full of crime, drugs, break-ins, and this is Cheam, I want to tell you, you drive up to Cheam. Like everyone in Hackney is like talking like this, mate. Like everyone's like on the beers. Like, oh, you're going to shank you, mate. And then you go to Cheam and like everyone's got like cups of tea and they're like, how are you, Dorothy? How was your day? Was it good? Oh, fantastic. Like, do you love Jesus? I love Jesus. How good is being rich? Like everyone in Cheam is like pumped and everyone in Hackney is like, they need the Lord. And so we drove up to Cheam and we got to their house and there was something weird outside of their house I'd never seen before. It's called a driveway. I was like, wow, they've got like a little road. What's that for? And I was like, what's that? And they're like, it's a driveway. I'm like, I've never seen one of them. Like in Hackney, everyone just has curbs. You know, I was like, you just curb. And then they had an entryway to the house and it was two doors, kind of like at the front of the church, two doors next to each other. See, in Hackney, all the doors are in front of each other like that. One's metal with bars, and then there's a door to stop people breaking in. But in Cheam, there was this double door, and I'm like, why do you need two doors to walk? Like, it's crazy. We went inside, and Dad was at the time, he's a pastor now, but he was a chef at the time. And he's like, Freddie, do you want to come and see the pantry? And I was like, what's the pantry? Like, at our house, we had, like, the living room, the bedrooms, and we're done. And this house had like a pantry and it had like, you know, and you went down into the pantry. So Dad took me down and all this food and he's like, what do you want? I'll cook you anything you want, mate. I'm like, do you have baked beans and Ribena? And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay, I still want you to adopt me though. And then they took me outside and they had this thing. It was like this big hole filled with water. You swim in it, apparently. I was like, what's that? They're like, that's a swimming pool. I'm like, what are you doing it? They're like, swim. I'm like, what's swimming? Like it was just crazy. And there was like, the garden seemed to go back for ages. And there was two stories. There was a huge kitchen. And I was just like, I was only like 2 or 3, but I just felt the spirit of adoption come on me. I'm like, get me out of Hackney. Like, get me out of here. Like, you know, like, you know, I was like standing there. Like, they came around the door. I'm like, hey, like big eyes, like, you know, like I'm like sweeping. I'm like, I'll do anything, child labor, just get me out. And so, but with a trial day, you have to go back. Even if the day goes awesome, you have to go back to the foster home. And so we're driving back from Cheam. I had this awesome time in this awesome house. There was these like things like pools and pantries and soap dispensers and like just all this crazy stuff. And we're going back to Hackney and I'm like, oh no, like, do we have to go back? I remember specifically going up to my room in the foster home, lying in my bed and hear the sounds of murder and fires outside. I'm exaggerating. I'm being silly. Everyone's like, really? Who died? No, I'm just kidding. But I felt so dissatisfied. I felt like, man, I want to live in Cheam. I want to live with that weird redhead guy that cooks food. I don't want to be in foster care anymore. It was so interesting because before that day, before I went up with Rob and Heather to Cheam, I was so happy with Hackney. I loved Hackney. I was like, Hackney's where it's at. I had a duck. His name was Donald. He had a little jacket. He was my homie. He's mad. We'd go outside. We'd dodge like bricks and glass together. Like, he was my man. I loved it. I loved having crisps and Ribena every day, even though it was probably killing me. But after I saw a different way of living, after I was exposed to what it means to have a mother and a father, after I saw what it means to have food and a good diet and all that, I wanted that. I was dissatisfied. And I think that's what God wants to do with us tonight. I pray that tonight you would become dissatisfied in a good way with where you are with the Lord. And this applies to all of us, whether we're 1 or 100, whether we're young or old, whether we've been saved a day or 10 years or 50 years. There's always more in God. He wants to expand our paradigm, expand our perspective, like he does with Abram. We'll go back into that story in a moment. He goes in there and he goes, hey, there's a big world out there and there's a big plan for you. He wants to expand our thinking. Do you guys remember that old song, Love Lived Us Up? Do you guys remember that? No? Okay, well, there's some shaking of the heads. I will have to sing it for you. Love lived us up where we belong. You know the song? Come on. Where eagles fly on the mat. Oh, I can't get it, eh? On the mat. Zach, come on the mat. But that's what he wants to do. Love, the person of Jesus, wants to bring us up tonight. He wants to show us it's a big world. He wants you to start getting a vision for your family, your workplace. If you're in this church and you're a leader, he wants you to start getting vision to fill the building, to see signs and wonders, to see more than you've seen. And you might be sitting there and go, oh, hey, man, I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. Hey, let's not get comfortable. You know, my dad is so annoying because he's a visionary. You know, the church has grown to like 350 people. We're thinking about going to a third service. We just released a worship album and I'm like celebrating. Like, that's awesome. Like, we're packing it out. And dad's the sort of guy. He's like, yeah, it's great. We're reaching like 0.5% of our city. I'm like, yeah, well, yeah. Oh, shut up. Like, it's like really frustrating. But he's like, hey, that Jesus Christ would have the reward of his suffering, which is cities and nations. And what does it look like when a church begins to dream? What does it look like when you begin to dream? What does it look like in your family? I don't care if you're 80 years old. What does it look like when you start to dream? If you still have breath in your lungs, there's a plan and a purpose for you. Tonight, I believe we're going to walk out of this building, not because of me, but because of the power of the Holy Ghost, going, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for my husband or wife? What do you have for my son, my daughter, my workplace, my school, my uni, my friends? What do you have? Man, you guys got really quiet. Praise the Lord. Love lift us up where we belong. I want to touch on this really quickly, and then I got some points, and then the band's going to come, and then we're going to pray, and it's going to be awesome. But something that I think that we need to be okay with is that in the kingdom, Jesus is the king. It's very deep, I know. And his perspective is where we need to live and breathe and have our being. You see, there's so many Christians. I get the honor of preaching all over the world and also just preaching at my church. And I see in people and in myself, sometimes we want to say we're Christian, but we don't want to let God lead us. And so it leads to like this like chafing. One time I went to Wet n Wild and I went with the boys I'd never been before. And they're like, bro, we're going to go to Wet n Wild. And I was at his house. It was like the school holidays. And I only had like jeans cut off there. And I was like, dude, I don't have any like swimmers, like I don't have any togs. And he's like, dude, don't worry about it, just like go in them. So I spent a day at Wet n Wild, which is like a water park. Sorry, I forgot I'm in New South Wales. It's a water park, it's awesome. And I spent a day in jean shorts at a water park. I want to tell you, my thighs had fellowship. Like, they were red. Like, these chairs, my thighs. Like, they was just like, you know, like denim, skin, chlorine, water. Like, it was a mess, man. I left that park and I was like, oh, Jesus. Like, it's just terrible. But we got some Christians living like that. We got some Christians saying, yeah, God, you're amazing. And then God says, thank you. Let's go and do this. Oh, I don't know about that. He's like, no, this is my plan for your life. Jesus, you're Lord of all. That's amazing. I want you to serve in the church. I want you to turn up on your roster. I want you to help on band. I want you to speak to people about me. I want you to see Narendra and all the other areas. One for Jesus. I want you to step out. I want you to talk to your family members about God. Oh, like, come on, church. Like, either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Like, either we're running with him or we're not. And I want to encourage you, and you know, that when I talk about this part of the message, like, no one ever amens, everyone just stands there and like sort of looks at you. But I want to tell you, in my life, I've had to be very uncomfortable. I've given up good paying jobs. I've gone into debt. I've done stuff that seems crazy because Jesus was like, hey, this is what you need to do. I want to tell you, an obedient church is one that will grow. An obedient Christian is one that would see their family and friends won to Christ. Come on, we got to align with the king's perspective. I love this story, and maybe we could just throw it up on the screen about Abram, but what's going on here is, I find it interesting, the guy that later on becomes the father of nations is hanging out for one kid. He's got an attitude because he doesn't have one kid, and it's like God saying, oh, Abram, it's so much bigger. It's so much bigger. The passage starts in verse 1. It says, after these things. After these things. What is it after? This is after, in Abram's perspective, what seems like 20 to 30 years of unfulfilled promises. Have you ever felt like that? You ever, like, you know, Abram, poor guy, you know, when he separated with Lot and then God took him up to the mountain and said, look to the east, to the west, to the south, as far as your eye can see, I'll give it to you. He's had all these words. He's had all these prophecies about nations and about, but he's not seen it, and he's almost 100 years old. I know I felt that way. God, if I have another word, if I read the Bible and feel something else is for me, but I don't see it anymore, I'm going to scream. Then God comes, and it's just so funny. It's like the moment where the word is going to be delivered. Because Abram hasn't kept a good attitude, he's like, God, I just don't know. What good are all your promises? I don't even have one kid. I love this. I love the text would show us that when this dialogue is going on, Abram's in a tent. If you look into it in the scripture, he's in a tent. And this next bit is just the way I see it, but I feel like Jesus comes down into Abram's world. And it's just beautiful because I don't know about you, but occasionally I can feel like God's a long way away. And it's like, God, right now, I feel like you're not here with me. God, right now. But that's the cool thing about Jesus. He comes close, doesn't he? He comes close. He's like, goes into this tent with Abram. And I almost feel like, you know, he like covers Abram's eyes. He's like, hey, bro, come outside. Like, I can't wait to show you this. And Abram's probably like, ah, I don't want to. And he's like, hey, come outside. Come out of the tent. Come out of your limited perspective. Come out of your attitude. I want to show you something. He takes him outside. And then look now toward heaven. Count the stars if you're able to number them. You know, it's such, God is so epic. You know, it's like, look up. Look at the stars. It's like, okay, Jesus. Count them. You know, I'm very literal, my personality type. So I would have been like, yes, sir. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What was he saying? He was saying, hey, Abram, the blessing on your life will be more than you can count, more than you can imagine, more than you could hope for. See, tonight, some people here, you felt like the promises of God have moved on, or the promises of God have left your life. Maybe you had some words, maybe you had some thoughts when you were younger, but you feel like you've messed it up. You feel like maybe you've sinned, or maybe life's gotten hard. I'm here from heaven to tell you tonight that if you're alive right now, I don't think anyone's dead in here, the promises of God are for you. the promises of God are for you. A Christian that believes the word of God over their life is a threat to the enemy, I want to tell you. I'm telling you, man, I was like a insecure kid from Caboolture. Caboolture's like hectic. Like Caboolture's just full on. I was an insecure kid from Caboolture. At the age of like 14, I got addicted to pornography like heavily. I didn't know who I was. I struggled with rejection. I was a bully at my school. I was a sports captain and I was just an absolute idiot to people. Huey's loving it. Huey's just like shouting me down from the back. He's like, come on, preacher. I like it. I like a bit of noise in church. Come on. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was doing. If you'd have told me when I was 14 years old, hey, mate, come into my tent, come into my paradigm and said, hey, God's actually going to free you of that porn addiction. Actually, God's got such an amazing marriage for you. He's got an amazing woman for you. He's got an amazing sex life for you. He's got an amazing plan for you. You're going to be able to preach the gospel. You're going to run a church with your dad. I would have laughed. But I want to be real with you tonight. No matter your age, no matter your history, no matter what you've done or what's been said to you, God has a plan for you tonight. And tonight, you need to look up. You need to start counting them. You need to look up. You need to start thinking about, God, what have you done in my life? Could I get the keys, just the key player, to come and doodle on the keys? That'd be awesome. Count them. Count them. The blessings of God. I'm going to pray for some people tonight, and I believe that there's some words that you received when you were young, maybe when you were in youth group. God's breathing on them tonight. Maybe you're in this place and you're going, hey, bro, I'm not even a Christian. It's all good. The plan of God is for you. It says in Jeremiah that he knew you before you were born, and in the womb he had ordained you as a prophet to the nations. I don't know Jesus. It's all good, bro. He knew you before you were even a thing. People get too caught up on church and they don't think enough about the person of Jesus. I couldn't come into church because of my sin, because of my... Forget about church for a moment. What about Jesus? He's a person. He's not a building. The church is awesome. I love the church. I work for the church. The local church is his redemptive plan. But tonight, you don't need a building or a worship set. You need the person of Jesus. Narendra doesn't need another program. It needs the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I give you like the good news and the bad news? It's all in one. It's one thing. You're it. No one else is coming. You are the hope of glory. It says in the Word of God that you are the hope of glory and it's reflected looking in a mirror. You're it, man. And you are well able to win your friends, your family, your city. Next time Jesus comes back, that's all she wrote. Pack up shop. But until that point, Narendra has you. Your city, your suburb, wherever you're from, it has you. And you are the hope of glory. Don't need to go to Bible college. Don't need to be a pastor. If you've said yes to Jesus, you've said yes to supernatural power. And if you haven't said yes to Jesus, I'd love you to do that tonight. 3 points as we finish. Hey, Bernie, you're awesome. There's a call of God on your life. I was watching you sing and your mad sliders. My wife wears sliders. They're so weird. But I just feel God saying there's a call and there's a plan and a purpose on your life. And what's happened to you in your life doesn't define you, but there's a plan and a call of God on you. And he loves you. He's proud of you. Keep coming to church. Keep hanging out with these guys. You're unreal. God loves his kids, eh? No? Just me? Okay, you're good. Yeah. I was telling the morning service, I was preaching in Hong Kong this year, and I was really excited because it was like, they've got like 6 services on a Sunday, and I preached all 6 of them, and in each service they got 2,000 people, but I got a bit too excited because like, I'm not being racist at all. Like, we've adopted a young Chinese girl into our family, Gabriella Shinshu Porter. I love her so much, she's 10 years old, but Asians sometimes aren't super expressive. And so there's like 2,000 of them, and I'm like, God's gonna move, and then I like tell a joke, and they're like, and I was like, oh, this is actually like really tough. And then I got to the altar call and I was like, I was so disheartened after, you know, service number 1 is at 7 a.m. That's from the pits of hell. And I was like, I'm like, if anyone wants God, if anyone wants to touch or an encounter, in my head, I'm like, they're all just going to sit there and just judge me with their smartness and their suits. And like 500 people like ran to the front for prayer. But why did I tell that? Oh yeah, I like it when churches are responsive. It's good. You should yell at church when Jeremy's preaching. Just get up and just yell at him. Say weird stuff. People at our church say the weirdest stuff. One time we had this African American lady and I was preaching on Psalms and God leading us, and she just stands up and goes, and I was like, I'm like seeing her in the corner of my eye. I'm like, what's happening? Like, I'm just preaching. I'm like, yeah, he leads us for his name's sake. And eventually I just looked at her. I'm like, yeah. And she's like, oh no, go ahead. It's good. Go ahead. So if Jeremy's preaching good next week, I don't know if he's preaching next week, just stand up and go, it's good. It's good, Jeremy. Come on, go ahead. Man, I like it. I like it when church is a bit of fun, man. Church should be enjoyed, not endured. 3 points as we finish tonight. We're going to wrap up and we're going to see God move. First one is, it's time to get out of your tent. What paradigm have you been stuck in? What addiction have you been stuck in? You see, the cool thing is Jesus is not, he's not ashamed of you. You might be doing stuff you shouldn't. You might be taking substances you shouldn't. You might be, I don't know, sleeping with people you shouldn't. I don't know. I always feel weird saying that one when there's like older women in the audience. I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am. Like, I'm sorry. But there's youth here and I just want to get them and just, I'm sorry. Like, Jesus is fine with where you're at. Jesus is not ashamed of you. Jesus loves you. Would you let him tonight take you out of your tent? Christians in this place, don't switch off. Yeah, I'm not sleeping with anyone. I'm doing fine. Like, I'm just, but where are you? Where's your faith at? Have you boxed God? Have you stopped listening to him? Have you stopped outreaching? Have you stopped speaking to people? Have you stopped praying for your kids? I was talking with an amazing woman this morning, telling me about how she prayed her oldest son back into the kingdom of God. My mom did that for me. I was away. I was doing stuff I shouldn't. And I'm telling you, the prayers of Heather Porter brought me back into the kingdom. It wasn't just some divine ethereal thing. She prayed me back. So if you're not saved in this place, if you don't know Jesus, it's time to come out of that tent and look again. If you are saved in this place, it's time to look up and go, am I believing for God's best? Have I got comfortable in Narendra, comfortable in my routine, and forgotten that I serve a God that walks on water? That I serve a God that looked at Lazarus when he was dead and said, Lazarus, come forth. That said the words in the Garden of Gethsemane, I am, and 300 soldiers fell over under the power of God. Have I forgotten that I serve a Jesus that is mighty to save, who's powerful, who loves me? Come on, it's time to get out of the tent tonight. Second point. And I feel this is for some of the wiser people in the room, more mature. God knows the name and the number of the stars. It says that in Psalm 147. Tonight I feel that he's saying, as I was mixing this around, this message a little bit the other week, I felt to let you know that he hasn't forgotten yours. He hasn't forgotten yours. He knows the number of the stars. He calls them each by name. The Bible says he knows when a hair falls off your head. Jesus Christ cares for you tonight. And he hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't not heard your prayer for your son or your daughter. He hasn't forgotten the word that was given to you 10 years ago that you would be a missionary or you'd preach the gospel or that you'd lead worship and write songs. It might feel like it, but he hasn't. He truly hasn't. There's this beautiful lady in our church, Kimmy, and she must be 60, late 60s. She came to our church and she was a pretty hurt lady. She'd been told to sit down and shut up in a lot of churches. And my mom and dad got around her and mentored her, discipled her, and she'd had words her whole life about running women's ministry. And she's, I'm 68, it's gone. It's gone. I'm stoked to tell you, next year Kimmy's going to be taking on our women's ministry. She's going to be a pastor in the church. And I just believe that God isn't done with us, regardless of age or circumstance. And young person in this place, you might be like, yeah, bro, I'm like in year 9 and I don't love Jesus. And shut up. God's just starting with you. The things I've seen young people do would freak you out. Can I tell you some of the stuff I've seen young people do for Jesus? I was in China, an underground church of 500, and I got someone I was mentoring at the time She was 15 years old on this mission trip. And I said, do you want to, you know, I was being a bit, you know, I wasn't mean to. I was like, sweetie, do you want to share? And she was like, yeah, right. We gave her the mic and she gets up and she's just like, I just feel like someone here has got a blind eye. And I was like, oh, geez, like, I just meant, like, tell them your name and where you're from. But this old man puts his hand up, complete clear on one eye, just white, no, nothing going on. Brings him out the front. Bethany lays hands on him. He's a freak out, man. All this mucus started falling off this elderly man's eye. And there was a perfect eye underneath. I don't know about that. Me neither. And I was there. Like, I'm like, that's weird. But we serve a God that walked on water. We served a God that left a tomb. One of our young guys, he got saved. He'd been saved 2 weeks. I'm just telling you this to encourage some people in this place. Faith rise in this place. It's a young guy. His name was Andrew. He was a skater. He did a lot of weed. Having a conversation with him, it was like, hey, Andrew, how you going? Yeah. Good. Like, this just took forever. But I loved him, and he got saved, and, you know, he came up in the front of church, and he's like, Pastor, I think you should have this. He gave me this massive bag of weed. I was like, I'm going to go make some money. This is awesome. And I didn't do that. I threw it in the toilet. But I was like, prayed for him, and he said, what does it mean to be a Christian? I said, Andrew, it means that when you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to dead raising power. And he said, cool, bro. So good, man. I'll see you next week, Pastor. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, like, he calls me midweek. Pastor Fred, I got to tell you something. I was at Chermside Shopping Center and an old man had a heart attack right outside of Bucking Bull, right near Oporto's. I was having a chicken burger. He probably had the munchies. I was having a chicken burger and the paramedics came and they were trying to revive him with defibrillators. And I remembered that I'm a Christian now. He'd forgotten because he probably did weed. But he's like, I'm a Christian now. And my pastor told me that I have dead raising power. I don't care what you do with this story. It's weird. I know it's weird. He goes up to the old guy. I don't even know. He says to the paramedic, hey, man, I'm a Christian. Can I pray? And the paramedic goes, yeah, well, we've done all we can do. Andrew puts his hand on his chest. He's been saved 4 days. He is currently high on cannabis, but he believes that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. And he says a very spiritual prayer. Lord, could you just help, eh? Like, it's just awkward. This guy's, I think he's dying or dead. And yeah, if you could just get in here and just, cheers. It's very spiritual, hey, very anointed. The old guy coughs and sits up. Paramedic says, what the F did you do? Andrew's like, I don't know, man. I'm going to go finish my burger. Walks over. So, Andrew, you can clap that if you want. Like, I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know if I believe that story. I'm skeptical. Cool, whatever. I'm a bit, you know, I get skeptical. God does stuff that I see and I'm like, that's weird. Why is that happening? Hey, we serve a God that moves in power. We serve a God that anoints his people. We serve a God that moves. And sometimes it makes you uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. Like Friday night, I was at youth and we had like 100 kids there. And this girl came up. She gave her life to God. And I just touched her shoulder. I said, thank you, God, that you love her. And she fell over. And I was a bit like, why does that happen? Like, it's odd. Like, stop that. I don't know, but I don't need to understand everything about Jesus. I just know that he's real. And I just know that if we would believe what he says about us, if we would believe that he's got a plan and a purpose for our life and that he hasn't forgotten our name, he hasn't forgotten our call, and he hasn't forgotten the words over our life. Come on. God knows the number and the name of the stars and he hasn't forgotten yours. And number three, as we close, we're finishing up. All the young people are like, thank God, so hungry. Number three, the limitless sky is our portion. I want to tell you something that's happened in my life as years have gone on is I've realized that in God, things are possible. In God, the most ridiculous things can come to pass. I don't usually share this, but I'm going to share a little story with you about what I want to do with my life because I feel like we're kind of like family and it's awesome. I had a dream in 2009 of me preaching at Suncorp Stadium, right? You know, and that's like, you know, young guy, just gotten saved. You know, what does he think? You know, sport and Jesus. Like, you know, going to speak at Suncorp. But that dream began to percolate on the inside of me. And I was like, man, even secular artists struggle to fill Suncorp. It's like 55,000 people, you know, only like the big dogs, like Justin Bieber and One Direction and Beyonce. But I was like, yeah, you know, I'd love to do that. And this year, 2 months ago, a pastor friend of mine from City Point Church, a big church in Brisbane, came to me and said, hey, I know that you've wanted to fill Suncorp and do a crusade there and see the power of God move through a city. We just had a billionaire join our church from Dubai, and he's actually said that if we want to do that, he'll cover it. He'll cover the costs. And we'd love to have you on board because we know that that's something you've dreamt from a young age. You see, in Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. You might be hanging out for your husband or wife or son or daughter to get saved, and that's awesome. That's a good dream. But tonight he's leaning in and going, not only will I do that through you and in you, but it's so much bigger. It's so much bigger. Can we put that photo up of Karen? That'd be awesome if we got that. That's me and Karen. Look at my ugly mug, eh? How you going, guys? Just a selfie. That's our church. This is after a morning service, and I wasn't preaching that morning. Pastor Rob, my dad, was preaching, and the worship was all right. It's just normal. There's nothing special about the service. I'm not even entirely sure if we had an altar call. We usually do, but sometimes we just close the service. And this lady, Karen, ran up to me. She grabbed me on the shoulder and said, I need to talk to you. She grabbed me really hard. I was like, that's aggressive. Don't. Like, get off. She grabbed me and she's like, Pastor Fred, I got to talk to you. She like just sat me down. She like mummed me. She's like, sit down. I got to tell you something. This was only a couple of months ago. She was in a car accident a year ago on the Bruce Highway. Head-on collision. She survived, but she whiplashed really hard, like super hard, and she felt a crack. But she didn't do it, but it wasn't excruciating pain or anything, but she started to over the next couple of months. Just her joints would hurt and like her lower back would hurt. She went for some scans in January of this year, and they said, sweetie, we're so sorry, but you've broken your C1 and C2. You have a broken neck. And we're not sure you've left it so long that your extremities are going to start to just fail. You're going to have muscular dystrophy. You are going to have, you know, because doctors have to be honest, they're like, you are going to have, she's only about 42, you're going to have a rough life. Like, you're not going to be paralyzed or anything, but your extremities are going to start to shut down. You're going to have sciatica. It's not good. We'll put you in a brace. So for 8 months, everything the doctor said came true. She started to not be able to walk. She couldn't like play with her kids. She just, and she got this big lump on the back of her neck. And the doctor said, look, it's going to be all right. You're going to have that lump forever. But, you know, at least you're not paralyzed. You know, at least you'll still be able to walk, but it's just going to be tough. She came into church, our church, and people in our area do come to our church for healing and stuff, but she was really bummed because Pastor Rob was speaking on like servant leadership or something. She's like, oh, like one time I come to church for healing and they're talking about junk. Like, well, I don't want that. Then the worship started and she's like, oh, I'll just go up the front. She went up the front. And during the worship, no altar call, no man of God, she just heard a pop. She was like, that's strange. She touched the back of her neck. Growth was gone. And, you know, of course, she's like, nah, I'm probably just went. So she went to the bathroom and had a look and it was gone. Started to freak out. This was the Sunday before this. She's a smart lady. She's an educated lady. So she's like, nah, I'm not buying it. I'm going to the doctors. Getting an MRI. She went. Doctor freaks out. Says, hey, your C1 and C2 are completely whole. She comes back to church the next week. Hey, you can clap God. It's awesome. Comes back and lets me know. She's still in our church, loving life, plays like takes her kids to the beach. We're called to the limitlessness of God. Jesus is well able. And when I began to realize that actually Jesus can heal broken bones, he can raise the dead, he can set people free. Sure, I pray for people sometimes and don't get healed. I still have sports-induced asthma. I've seen so many young people healed of asthma. I still have asthma. But I'm not going to let my experience dictate my theology. I know what the Word of God says. CRC Narendra, I believe that the best is yet to come for you. I believe exciting things are in store. I'm excited to see photos of this place packed. I'm excited to see altar calls packed with people. You've got the pastors. You've got the leadership. You've got the facility. But most importantly, you got the power of the Holy Ghost with you and all of heaven behind you. The limitless skies is for you. It's for you. One more story and then we'll pray for some people. I was on a plane heading to Hong Kong with some of my team and we're going to the conference over there. I got put next to I got put next to a sheik. I don't know why he was a sheik's son. So a sheik is he's a billionaire in Dubai. I got put next to this guy called Aziz. He was awesome and he was telling me, he's like, what do you do? And I was really tired because if you're on a plane and you're like, I'm a pastor, like that is usually a great way to shut down a conversation. Like they don't want to talk to you. So I usually say, I'm a motivational speaker or I'm in youth work and then I weasel in. But I was tired, I'll be honest. And so he's like, hey bro, what do you do? And I was like, I'm a pastor at a Church of Jesus Christ. You know, I was like, I just want to sleep. He's like, wow, I'm a Muslim. And I was like, no, like I just want to sleep. Like I don't want to. And he's like, so do you think Jesus is the Messiah or Muhammad? I'm like, oh, no, I just want to watch like the shack and have like 73 Coke cans that are that big. That's all I want to do. And I felt Jesus say, hey, you're called to the limitless possibilities. Get in there. What are you doing? Began to talk to him about Jesus. Long story short, by the time we got off the plane, Aziz gave his life to Jesus Christ. I was able to give him a Bible. It's awesome, man. Why do I tell you that story? Because I think I'm awesome? No, I'm not awesome. I was tired. I tried to get away from the situation. But if we walk in step with Jesus, the impossible is possible. Amen? Why don't we all stand this morning, tonight? What's the time? Where are we? Why don't we stand across this place? We might just keep the keys for the moment because there might be some band members that I want to pray for. That's it, eh? I was saying to the morning service that church, it's actually a trick to just get you to do squat exercises. And we're going to sit. Would you stand, church? Now we're going to sit. Now we're going to take communion. Now we're going to worship. Now we're standing. It's good. It means we'll all have really good legs in Jesus' name. Tonight I want to do two things. The first is I want to open up an opportunity, if you don't know Jesus Christ, for you to accept him as your Lord and Savior. It's the best decision I ever made. He changed my life from the inside out. I mean, if anyone here just doubts God, like look at my wife. Look at me. Look at my wife again. Look at me. There is a God. So tonight I want to open up an opportunity. And I just want to create a space where it's not awkward. So if we could just all really quickly close our eyes and bow our heads. The only person that can talk through this issue, he's going to shout us down from the back. He's going to pray for us. But I want to invite you tonight, if you don't know him. By the way, I'm not asking if you come to church. I'm not asking if you read your Bible occasionally. I'm asking if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you said yes to him and you know that you're walking with him daily. Maybe you used to walk with him, but you know you've walked away. I don't really believe in backsliding. I believe either Jesus is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And tonight, he's giving you an opportunity to say yes to him.